I think that by definition, that we are living in the kind of waning hours of a mythology of the architect, and that is both exciting but also very complicated to manage. By definition, the architect is an agent of change, and I've always been, from the beginning of my involvement in the profession, being shocked and appalled that there was no register on our repertoire in which we could merely kind of see it, merely look, merely observe, and also decide to abstain from any activity. An architecture can never be passive, and there is a kind of strong intolerance, almost an intolerance, and actually in the past 2 days I felt a little bit sometimes the latency of that intolerance, in case we don't have any answers, and perhaps worse, when we don't have any, don't even claim any answers. In my own career as an architect, I have tried to kind of unilaterally undo this kind of one-sidedness, and it has been also part of the same intolerance that exactly that relatively modest, almost journalistic intent in documenting the city and its current evolution has been interpreted kind of very often as a kind of heartless cynicism. And I would kind of argue that this kind of issue of cynicism, when confronted with almost documentary evidence of how the city is evolving under our kind of very, in our very presence, suggests a structural issue in architecture and architectural observation that somehow we conceive of ourselves as only those who act, and definitely not as those who see. I think that the most important thing that architects can do, kind of faced with this huge tsunami of unknown urban substance, is to write new theory. And I know that that is a kind of very unfashionable position, probably. Alejandro has insisted on his eagerness for instrumentality and his dislike for manifestos. Nevertheless, I would say that it is quite shocking today that since Jane Jacobs and since the Venturi's Learning from Las Vegas, and yes, since my own Delirious New York, there has hardly been any theoretical description of the city, how it performs, but also how it should perform. And I think that the current malaise, because I would say it is a malaise in terms of new and old ideas, the dearth of new ones and the kind of recycling of old ones, is kind of partly to do with that situation. I think that it is particularly a pity that we don't produce any theory, because we are facing now for the first time in the East new potentials, and in the West a public sector which, after being very feeble for decades, seems to have found a new confidence in handling and managing the private sector. We noticed that in London, for instance, where after years of caving in, the public sector has kind of almost aggressively taken initiatives and is also successful in imposing them. And I think that particularly at that moment, our absence of manifestos is actually, or our absence of being able to claim a degree of newness, is dangerous. And I think what we also need to do is, if we cannot produce new theory, and I agree it's not easy, we can at least find new words. I noticed how Saskia Sassen kind of introduced the word cityness, and how that word, even if it is pretty ungainly, was immediately repeated at least seven times in the past hour. So that shows for me that there is a kind of huge eagerness for new words and a huge need for new words, because only if we find new words can we hope to produce a framework of understanding. And without that framework, any dreams of instrumentality, I think, are futile. I would also like to maybe say one thing in addition. I used to be almost contemptuous of architecture myself, and I actually have, on a rhetorical level, I think, done a lot to question its kind of plausibility. But at the same time, I would say that recently I have become impressed with architecture, perhaps by default, as other professions flatten and are increasingly unable to maintain even a kind of memory of depth. For instance, and this is not ad hominem, but I have been surprised, to say the least, that kind of cheerful up and down jumping graphs are now the form of sociology that we consume. That architecture at least has a kind of memory of depth, and also in its very awkwardness and in its very chaotic multifacetedness, where it deals with economy, politics, aesthetics, etc., civilization, remains at least a sympathetic and sometimes impressive ambition to connect the dots. 5 minutes. I would finally say that kind of people in our position, and with our position, I mean the people behind the table, who are not, I would say, a typical segment of the architecture population, that we are submitting a perverse effect of the market economy by being condemned to so-called stardom, which in fact has a perverse tendency to remove ourselves from or remove us from issues of architectural relevance. I would kind of die to work in a neighborhood. I would love to do social housing. I would be interested in working for the handicapped. I would be, in the current configuration of the architecture profession, that is strictly unthinkable, in spite of our sometimes passionate attempts. And this removal from kind of issues of relevance starts perhaps with our removal from our local context. Where we, rather than kind of work on what we know, we systematically have to project ourselves in the unknown. And in the best cases, of course, we do that kind of with integrity by trying to learn to know the conditions that we have to work in, or in the worst cases, we simply project our own footprint and stamp again and again. And for me, it has been paradoxical that I had to go to Africa to show that I had a heart. Anyway, I would like to maybe say one more thing, and that is kind of related to the issue of authenticity and the issue of gentrification and gentility and perhaps civility. All these words that are hanging in this room, launched by richer civility, taken over by both positive and negative references to the word gentrification, and by me caricatured as a rush to civility, to gentility. For me, what the real issue is authenticity, and there I come again where I started, the tragedy that the architecture profession is right now so constituted that it can only remove what was there, i.e. it can only remove authenticity. And there I think that I have an intuition or perhaps an optimism that the fact that in the near future the most important growth in cities and the most important aspect of city, which for me represents a serious paradigm shift, will need not be that the city will be a place of affluence, but the fact that this city will be a place of poverty or perhaps poorness. And I think exactly in this poorness, we may be able to find more subtle ways of intervening.